And Lord, now as we come to your word, we pray, Lord, that we'd hear something that would transform us, change us, Lord, help us on our journey as we walk with you. And we ask in Christ's name. Amen. So we're coming to our final message in this series about what does it mean to be an apprentice of Jesus, people who are practicing the way of Jesus. That we talk about how that word disciple is a word that kind of doesn't mean much to us these days. But actually, if we look at it as the word apprentice, actually we maybe get a different feel for what it means to be a follower of Jesus, someone who's seeking to become like him. And actually, the idea of discipleship in the first century was about this, that the point of apprenticeship was to become like your rabbi, to become like the person that you follow, like the person that you're trying to emulate in your life. And for us, as people who are on that journey of faith and seeking to walk with Jesus, we're trying to be apprentices on the way of Jesus, doing what he did. Because I believe, and hopefully maybe you do too, is that Jesus is an example that's worth following. That if he was God in flesh, actually he lived a life that was the best life, the best way to live. He wasn't just a man in the bathrobe going around going, ah. He was actually someone who taught something that mattered. He taught something about a way of life which could transform everything about how you do your life. So the point of this series has been about talking about how we need to look at discipleship in terms of apprenticeship, and the whole point of that is to become like our rabbi. At the very beginning of this series, ages ago now, if you can remember it back, we looked at this question. Is the transformation possible to go from where we are right now to where Jesus is? Is it possible to be transformed? Is it possible to do that? And the answer we looked at was, it is possible to be transformed. It's possible for you to become more like Jesus. But we talked about how it's not inevitable. And sometimes we think that we become a Christian and somehow magically God's make everything better, make me completely perfect, and it's going to be wonderful now and all my problems will go away. As I made it very clear from the very beginning of this series, is your salvation doesn't come by anything you do. If you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you are made holy and perfect in the sight of God, and you are eternally secure in that identity. That's who we are. But part of the transformation life of being a disciple of Jesus and a follower of his way is recognizing there's things that we need to do, partnering with God in order for that transformation to take place in our lives. It's a bit like you've got a parent and a child. That relationship doesn't change. When you become a child of God, you are now God, and that doesn't change. But the behavior of those two individuals can affect the relationship. And it can affect how you live that out and what that looks like. If a child is constantly being naughty, it can put an issue between them and their parents. They're still in relationship. They're still parent and child. They're secure in that relationship. But the outworking of their relationship might need some work. And that's kind of a bit like us with God. So there are things that we can do, partnering with God. And I said before, God does all the heavy lifting in this. But we can partner with him to be transformed. And often the problem has been in the kind of Reformed tradition, i.e. people who are very focused on the Word of God, which is good, that's not a bad thing, or the Charismatic tradition, which is particularly where I come from, to think that God does absolutely everything. And we just kind of sit it out until heaven. But actually, there's a way of life that God wants for us that could be transformational to us and the people around us. And that's what discipleship is. It's walking into the life that God wants for you. You can sit here today and do nothing more in your Christian journey, and you're secure and you're safe for all of eternity. But you're missing out on life and life in its fullness, because life in its fullness comes through this journey of discipleship and walking in pattern of your life with Jesus. And we talked about how the early disciples called the Christian life the way. They were people of a way of life. It wasn't just a people who know God. It was a people who were on a way, on a journey with God in all that they did. And we've looked at how This transformation is possible but not inevitable because spiritual formation is taking place in your life whether you realize it or not. You're being spiritually transformed all the time by the things around you, whether you realize it or not. By the stories we believe, by the relationships that we have, by the habits that we engage in, and the environment in which we live. And all that happens over time. And if you do absolutely nothing, all those things are shaping you. But to be someone who's on the way and being a disciple or an apprentice of Jesus is say, I'm going to take my spiritual formation, I'm going to engage in that intentionally. I'm going to do things, put things in place in my life which are intentional so that the transformation that God longs for my life with his help becomes more likely. And so we change those things that spiritually form us unintentionally to things that spiritually inform us intentionally. And those things are, you replace the stories that we believe with the teachings of Jesus. You replace relationships that you choose with community that maybe you haven't chosen, which then shapes you, and you've got people there who encourage you but also point out your blind spots. We replace our habits with intentional practices, are things we're going to do in order to help us in our journey with Jesus. And all that happens in the environment of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus says, if you remain in me, you'll bear much fruit. He also says, apart from me, you can do nothing. All this has to happen in the environment of the Holy Spirit. And all this happens over time. That was kind of just a recap on what we looked at the very beginning of all this stuff. But what we're looking at over the last few weeks is, going back to this, is the bottom corner of what does it mean to live out the practices of Jesus in our life. And we've been looking at over the last few weeks from Paul's letter to Corinthians about how he uses the analogy of being an athlete. And he's saying you wouldn't go into athletics and do no training. You wouldn't just start a marathon and hope for the best. You'd prepare first. You'd train first to be able to get to the place you want to get to. And so in the Christian life, often we kind of just run into this idea of hoping that somehow magically we'll just get on and do it. And it's really hard. Because we're not actually training, we're not disciplining our lives into the pattern of Jesus. And if you want to grow spiritually, it's a bit like wanting to grow physically. It's going to take some discipline. If you want to lose weight, it takes some discipline. If you want to grow big muscles, it takes some discipline. If you want to get healthy and fit, it takes discipline. It's what you've got to do. You've got to go, here's my intention, here's the result I'm after, and here's what I can do step by step to get to that particular place of my transformation. And it's exactly the same thing in your spiritual life. That you can engage in spiritual disciplines, which sounds very harsh and very rubbish as a word, but it's better to look at it as the practices of Jesus. Saying, look at what Jesus did, look at how he lived his life, look at all the things that he did. Those are the things, if you practice them in your life, will allow you to be transformed in who you are, on your journey with Jesus. And we've been looking at over the last few weeks about, we've looked at the why, the what, today we're going to look at the how. And so the why of spiritual practices is the fact that spiritual practices redirect our heart. They turn us back, they orientate us back to God. We're using that quote from James K. Smith, that story where he said his wife gave him a book about the slow food movement, which is all about eco food and about eating healthily. And he was reading this book going, this is brilliant, people need to engage with this. And then he realized that he was sat in America in Costco, which is this big food chain, which is the complete opposite of anything ethical. And he sat there eating a hot dog. And he goes, ah. And he said, the problem is, I knew what was right, but I still love hot dogs. And in our lives, often we know what the right thing is to do, but the problem is we still love our old life. There's things that we still like. We still like actually holding grudges. We still like being angry with people. We still quite like that sin that we go back to again and again and again. We quite like it. And actually the first thing about why to engage in spiritual practices is that they reorientate our heart back towards Jesus. They point us back to him, which helps change the desires and longings of our heart. And if we change the heart, we'll change our actions. The second thing is, we looked at last week, was the what. What's the point in doing this? And the point of spiritual practices is that they give access to possess a power you don't currently have. So in the same way we talked about last week, about how if I wanted to go and lift a 100 kilogram weight, right now I would not be able to do that because I have puny muscles. However, so I can't by direct effort right now lift that weight. But if I start lifting a kilogram and train with that for a little bit, and a few years later then start moving on to a 5 kilogram weight and build up, with training, I have access to a power that I don't currently possess. So with training, I'll be able to do something that currently I can't do, but it is well within the means of humanity to lift 100 kilogram weight. Or it's like me, like running a marathon. I can't, right now can't run a marathon. But it's within the possibility of humanity to be able to run a marathon. We saw that last week at the London Marathon running. So I can't do that by direct effort right now, but with training and with discipline, I can get to a stage where it becomes within my means by effort to do that thing. And so the spiritual disciplines are the same kind of action. It's that when we practice the spiritual disciplines, it allows us over time, it's basically training ourselves spiritually to be able to have access to a power we currently don't have, which is the Holy Spirit. And what it looks like in the Christian life is it's saying, for example, if I've got an issue with, I'm finding anxiety is a massive thing in my life right now, and you read Jesus' words that say, don't be anxious about anything, and you think, well, that's nice, Jesus. It seems completely ludicrous from where you're feeling right now, going, I feel really anxious, I'm really burdened, I'm really stressed, and Jesus is saying this over here, and you're going, that's nice for you, Jesus, but have you seen my work schedule? Have you seen all I've got going on in my life right now? Have you seen all this stuff? And what the spiritual disciplines are saying are, it is possible to achieve that position that Jesus is talking about. But it doesn't happen when you become a Christian and you go, oh, everything's now fine. It's saying, as a Christian, as you engage in the spiritual practices, it becomes within your power and within your grasp to be able to be someone who takes every thought captive and go, here's the anxiousness of my life. But Jesus says, don't be anxious about this, and I have the ability and the spiritual strength to be able to hold that concept that God's got it in hand. You train up to it. So it isn't kind of a, sort of a pseudo-spiritual thing that's over there. This is a practical thing. Or maybe for you, you're going, actually, I just really struggle with greed. I find, actually, I just want stuff all the time. It's just, that's just, I just can't help it. Then you might need to engage in the spiritual discipline of generosity. And to start off with, giving anything away, if you're feeling quite greedy, is hard. So you might start off by saying, actually, I'm going to start giving this much away each month. And as that becomes okay, you might go, okay, I'm going to build it up and go, next month I'm going to give a bit more away. I'm going to give a bit more away. So whatever it is in your life that you maybe struggle with, the spiritual disciplines give you the ability to access a power to overcome that particular thing. This is why it's so awesome to engage in the spiritual practices of Jesus. Because it brings life to you, because it gives you a power you currently maybe don't have. So that's kind of the why, that's kind of the what, and today we're going to look at the how. How do we actually do this? What's this actually all about? And so the first key idea to take away today is simply this. That following Jesus isn't about trying really hard, it's about training really hard. It's a really important thing to get your head around. Because so often in the Christian life, we try really hard, don't we? I spend a lot of my time trying to be a better person. Trying really hard to be nicer, to be a bit kinder, to be less angry. But trying really hard doesn't actually achieve anything. But if I train spiritually to go, I'm really struggling with anger right now. I could try really hard not to be angry, or I can engage in spiritual disciplines or practices of Jesus that will help me, and actually I don't get to that place of being angry in the first place, where I'm able to take my emotions captive in my life. See the difference? So often we think it's about, particularly if you ever read the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, love, peace, patience, kindness, joy. And you're thinking, oh, that's nice. But you think, I can never do that. You can never do it right now, maybe, but it's well within your means to be more loving. It's well within your means to have more joy. It's well within your means to be more kind. It's well within your means to have more self-control in your life. It might just not be possible for you right now. But with training rather than trying, transformation is possible. And that is the purpose of following the way of Jesus rather than just trying to be like Jesus. It's training, it's walking, it's learning how to do the life of Jesus rather than saying, I'm a Christian now, I should be like Jesus. It's something you train, you do over time. So it's about training, not trying. It's a completely different way. I say, if we go back to that metaphor, I can go to the gym, I can try really hard to lift a 100 kilogram weight, and I won't be able to do it. But with training, I can do it. And that's the difference. Trying doesn't get you anywhere. Training leads to a purpose. So we're going to talk about, if you're training in anything, there's a smart way to train. You can train badly, and you can train well. I'm just going to look at a few points that help us train well. So the first point, if you're training in any particular sphere of life, the first thing you need to do is take a balanced approach to your training. You need to be balanced in how you approach what you're doing. There's no point going, if I want to build up my entire body muscles, just working my arms isn't going to change my entire body. I've got to do a bit of this, a bit of this, a bit of that. You've got to do it in a way which is balanced. You've got to do it in a way which is helpful. You can't just rush into it and go, right, I'm now going to spend 2 hours a day with God, every day. That's good. You'll fail off the first 2 days. A balanced approach is saying, okay, I need to work out how I'm going to fit this in, how I'm going to do things. And I'm just going to put up here, for some of you in the room are going, another graphic, I can't handle this. What this is saying, in our lives, there are spiritual practices that we might want to engage in. Some of what we call spiritual disciplines of abstaining from things, which is probably when most of you think about spiritual disciplines, you're probably going, oh, it means not doing stuff. It doesn't just mean that. There are spiritual practices of engagement, things that you actively pursue and do. There are some that you do alone, and there are some that you do in community. And those different quadrants are the kind of the bits that fit around that. So some of them need to be things that you abstain from, but you do it in community. Some of it will be things that you engage with, and you engage them in community. Some of it will be things you do alone, but they're engaging things. Some of them you'll do alone, and you're abstaining from something. This isn't a exhaustive list of spiritual practices, by the way. This is just some of them to show you. So you can't just have all of one thing and not of the other thing. So in your life, you're going to have spiritual practices in your life which are both have moments of engagement, things that you're actively going to do, but you also need a balance of things that you're not going to do. You'll need to have spiritual disciplines in your life that you do with other people, and you'll have to have disciplines in your life which you do on your own. You need a balanced approach to how you do that. If you just do one or the other, there's not a balance in how you're training, and it won't be the fullness of what God could achieve in us in that transformation. We need a balanced approach to what we're doing. Next thing we need in smart training is to take account of our personality. If you're like me, so I'm an extrovert. I like being with people. I get my energy from being with people. Some people in the room will be what they call introverts. You find people quite tiring, and you get all your energy from being on your own. Now, as an extrovert, when I hear about the spiritual practices of solitude and silence, I freak out because I like people and I like talking lots. So there'll be things in my life, so I still need to engage with the spiritual disciplines of silence and solitude. But I'm going to need far less of that than the spiritual disciplines where they're in community. Those things will really make me come alive. So your personality type will change what are the things in your life spiritually that most help you. You still need a balanced approach. You still need all of them in your life because they all have a value for a particular reason. But some things you'll need more than others. Some of you will find spending hours in prayer like just the most life-giving thing ever. Like you're on your own, you're with Jesus, it feels amazing, it's wonderful. Some of you, if you're like me, find sitting on your own quietly with Jesus really, really hard. I'd much rather talk with someone or pray with someone else. I find that much easier. I still need to pray on my own. I still do pray on my own. But I find that much harder than the other spiritual practices. For some of you, you'll be really good at doing stuff. You're like activists. You love getting involved with things. So the spiritual disciplines of engagement, of doing stuff, you're like, yeah, I can do this, I can do that. And you need to maybe engage in the disciplines which are abstaining from something to have a balanced approach. But you'll need less of the abstaining things than the engagement things because your personality type. Some of you are really good at not doing stuff, abstaining from things, those disciplines which kind of draw us back. Actually, for you, you need to engage in things that are activist or engagement things, but you might need less of that than the other disciplines. That's okay. But I think so often we've kind of got to a point where we think it's all got to look exactly the same. And it hasn't. There's a great book by a guy called Gary Thomas called Nine Sacred Pathways. And he talks about the ways that we spiritually engage with God. He talks about nine different pathways that throughout the centuries people have used to engage with God. And he says, so some people here, for example, will be at the top one, naturalists, that you love God, you engage with God in the great outdoors. And that actually, going on a hike in the mountains will be far more spiritually beneficial to you than listening to a sermon. Because actually, that's where you come alive, that's where you sense God, that's where you experience God. That's perfectly okay. That's great. Some of you will be about your senses. And it will be all about how you sense. So things like the Anglican tradition or Catholic traditions of noises and smells and incense to your senses, you'll engage with God. That's great. That's fine. It's not for everyone, but for some people, that's how they'll engage with God. That's brilliant. For some, it'll be traditionalists, people who find ritual and symbolism really powerful. That's the thing for them that really engages them with God. It's not for everyone, but for some people, that's like the thing that really grabs them. For some people, it's ascetics. It's about loving God through solitude and simplicity, like drawing away, like you like would love to be a monk or a nun. So like withdraw from society completely and just live your life simply and with God. Some people here, that's you. That's okay. That's great. If that's what you love, brilliant. That's how you engage with God, brilliant. Some of you are activists. And like, so you sort of love God and come spiritually alive through confrontation of things. So you're going, right, how can we do social justice over here? How can we set up a new company for this? How can we get on board with these sort of things? If you're that sort of person who kind of wants to change the world all the time and has nine ideas before breakfast, that's you. You come alive when you're doing something, when you're kind of like changing the world actively. You're an activist. You want to challenge things that aren't right. That's you. You might come spiritually alive through that. Some people will be caregivers. Actually, you're just like, you've got a real partial heart. Like, for you, you encounter God when you're sat there with someone who's in need, and you can just be there. And for you, in that moment, you experience God, and you go, wow, God was there. That's so spiritually powerful. Some people will be enthusiasts, that you sort of love loving God through mystery and in sort of celebration. Sort of, you love kind of a big worship event. You kind of love the big charismatic worship type stuff, maybe. You kind of love that sort of wow, sort of awe and wonder of God. You come alive through that. That's great too. Some people, it'll be contemplative, that you love God through adoration, where you just love that kind of stillness. You love kind of drawing away, just where it's still, it's quiet, there's no music, no one's talking. It's just, I can just think and be before God. That's great. Some people are intellectuals, that you love God through your mind. For me, I'm a bit of a weird balance. I'm an enthusiast. I love big charismatic worship. But the other thing that really makes me come spiritually alive is a good theology book. Like, the more convoluted the theology, the more I love it. I engage through my mind. That's how I love to engage with God. So some of you here will be like, oh, all that sort of experiential stuff. Oh, I hate that. Give me the Bible, give me a commentary, give me a good theology book, and I am so happy right now. If that's you, that's great. All these are ways that you engage with God. All of these things are helpful. And I think the mistake we've made in the church is saying, you come to a particular church, and it's one tradition of that. And we try to make everything the same, and actually, we're completely different. And that's okay. If it brings you a life, if it makes you come alive, that's okay. So it's understanding that spiritual practices aren't just this. There's more to it than that, that you can experience it. How do you come alive? John Odeberg, he wrote a book called The Life You Always Wanted, and he kind of used a expression of what the spiritual disciplines are about, and he says, anything that gives you life is a practice of God's joy. I think it's probably a little bit lacking in some places in that, but actually, what brings you joy in your life? Your personality type will affect how you engage with God, and that's perfectly okay. I know there's people here who sit here week in, week out faithfully, listen to me preach, and just like going, I just don't get anything from this. Sermons are not how I learn at all. That's okay. As long as somewhere else in your life you're engaging with practices that are bringing you spiritual life. So think about your personality type. How do you best engage God? All of them are okay. All of them are good. All of them are right. The third thing in smart training is taking into account the season of your life. Now, for some of you here, you'll be in a season of your life right now where you've got the time to spend lots of time with Jesus. And you might love that, it'd be great, it'd be awesome. Some people here have got barely any time at all. And that's okay too. There's no point trying to beat yourself up about things that you can and can't do. If you're a new mother, you've probably got a lot less time right now than you would do if you just retired. Or if your children are a bit older, the seasons of life will dictate what you're able to engage with. So for example, as someone who leads a church, who's at the front, one of the disciplines that I have to try and engage with is the discipline of secrecy. Doing things in my life where I don't tell anyone about it. I just go and do Jesus-y things and don't tell a soul. Because I'm always doing things at the front, in front of people. So I need to make sure that I'm keeping my heart in check by doing things secretively that are Jesus-y and not going, hey, guess what I did today? But if you're a mum with children, your whole life is secrecy. You're always doing things. You're washing clothes and you're making food potentially, or you're a stay-at-home dad, maybe doing the same sort of things. Your whole life potentially is in secret. No one ever acknowledges all the things that you're doing which are helpful and beneficial to your family or your friends or your world. So you're going to need a lot less secrecy in your life than maybe some of the other disciplines in your life. So the disciplines that you engage in will be affected by the season of your life. If you've got time to go off and walk and hike in the hills, brilliant. You might not have that time right now. So what disciplines can you engage in? So the seasons of your life will change what disciplines you engage in right now. If you're in a time when you haven't got much, engaging in generosity might be quite hard right now. But if you have got much, generosity is a discipline you maybe need to be really engaging in. So the season of your life will change, the things in your life will affect what disciplines will be the best practices of Jesus for you right now in your life. And lastly, smart training takes into account the need of the hour. And so spiritual writers kind of talk about the disciplines and saying, it's a bit like, as you go on in your Christian journey, you'll find that there are things that you can kind of, it's a bit like a doctor prescribing the right medication for the right thing. So if you're really struggling with, say, for me, you know very much that I like biscuits. If I'm eating too many biscuits, actually, gluttony and eating too much is becoming a bit of an issue in my life. What I need to do is I need to engage in spiritual disciplines that are abstaining from stuff. I need to get fasting into my life, whether that be fasting food or whether that be fasting other things in my life. So the spiritual practice of fasting is a part of my life. It's something that counters some of the other things that are going on currently in my life. But actually, if you'll get to the point in your life where you're thinking, I'm just so bored of my faith. I'm really bored of this whole Jesus thing. I'm so bored of church. I'm so bored of all this stuff. I'm so bored of these people. You maybe need some disciplines of engagement. You need to go on a mission trip to India. You need to go and do something with your life. You need to go and do something completely different and engage and do a different discipline. So you can kind of use the disciplines also as a way of kind of being an antidote to the things that are going on in our life. So the things that ultimately bring us life, but also things that we might need. Is that contradictory? Yes. Is that the Christian life? Yes. There are spiritual disciplines for you that bring you life, but there'll be times when actually you'll find that those things stop working. And spiritual writers throughout the centuries have talked about hitting the dark night of the soul. When actually all the things that you've done to engage with God that you knew stop working. All the ways that you've really enjoyed loving Jesus and loving God in your life stop working. And at that point, the spiritual disciplines become an amazing opportunity to go deeper with God. Because when you've hit that dark place and nothing seems to be working, try a different discipline to what you've been used to. Try something else to help go deeper in where you're at with God. So if you're here and you feel like your faith is just not going anywhere, you've been doing this Christian life for a long time, and you've kind of got to the point where you're thinking, you've heard every sermon, you've heard every sermon better than you've heard it so far. You've been to more worship events than you can count. You've done small groups, you've done pastoral care, you've done the welcome team, you've been in the worship team, you've done absolutely everything, you're just thinking, you feel that dark night of the soul. What spiritual disciplines have you not engaged with yet? What things can take you deeper in your life? What things will challenge you and grow you in a new sphere of life with Jesus? These are beautiful practices. I said to you before, there's no definitive list. There's anything that Jesus does, it's what we can do. If you do want sort of something to help you with this, a great book is called it's a book called The Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster. Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster. He's got a great book there talking about all the different disciplines that he can think of and kind of how we engage with those particular things. So you're at the beginning. Is transformation from being where we are right now to the way of Jesus possible? Yes. But it's not inevitable. It's something that we have to engage with, and with God's help, we are transformed in that process. And ultimately, when you start a spiritual discipline, initially, it will feel like nothing's happening. But it's a cumulative effect over time. And actually, what you find is over time, you are transformed and you are changed. So don't be disheartened if after the first week of praying lots, or fasting lots, or kind of hanging out in community with people lots, things are exactly the same. It's a cumulative effect over time, but that effect over time takes you to a place which maybe right now you can't even imagine, but with God's help and with that discipline of training is possible. Jesus wouldn't call us to follow him if it was impossible. He calls us to follow him because it is possible. But it's not about trying really hard, it's about training really hard. It's possible, but it's not inevitable. We have to engage with it. It's not about trying hard, it's about training hard. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us think about in our own lives our spiritual formation. That you'd help us think about how we are journeying with you. Lord God, are there things in our life that we need to engage with more because they bring us such life with you? Are there things in our life that actually we are struggling with and we need to find a remedy through the spiritual disciplines and the practices of Jesus to help bring balance, to bring restoration into our lives? Lord God, bring those things to mind. And Lord God, I thank you that transformation in our lives is possible. But it's not inevitable. And Lord, I thank you that you're not opposed to effort, but you're opposed to earning grace. Thank you, we are saved by grace. We are held in your hand, and we are secure. But we can work out our salvation with fear and trembling as we train to be an apprentice of Jesus, our rabbi. Help us on that journey, we pray, Jesus. Amen.